Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, the second chapter that we heard read earlier. Today marks the beginning of the most holy week of the church year, as we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his passion, death, and resurrection, all for you and your salvation. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was the Sunday before the celebration of the Passover. Jews were coming from far and wide into the city for the festivities. And as Jesus approached the city, the faithful lined the road, greeting him with shouts, as if he were a king returning home from war, returning home from winning the war. But Jesus had not yet won the war. The greater battle lie ahead in the coming week. Today is also known as Sunday of the Passion. Like many other words, the word passion has multiple meanings. According to Merriam-Webster, it can mean ardent affection and love, like the affection you have for your spouse or your children or a special someone. It can mean strong liking or desire for devotion to some activity or cause, like your passion for the unborn. Some have passion for sports, others have passion for the arts. But in theology, the word passion is capitalized. Passion means the sufferings of Christ between the night of the Last Supper and his death. But I would suggest to you that as we define the word passion, we can say for Jesus, his passion is all of the above. Jesus had and still has ardent affection and love for God the Father in heaven and for all mankind. Jesus had and still has a strong devotion for seeking to save the lost, drawing all people near to himself. Jesus had a strong passion to do the will of his Father, humbling himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're reminded of Jesus' passion every Sunday when we confess the phrase, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, in the Apostles' and the Nicene Creeds. We're reminded that the Holy Lamb of God had an emotional passion to go uncomplaining forth into his physical passion, bearing the guilt of all sinners, bearing the stripes and the wounds, hearing the lies and all the mockery, all to be slaughtered without complaint. The omniscient Son of God on Palm Sunday, seated on the back of a donkey, riding into Jerusalem to all kinds of shouts. Just 5 days later, these people would no longer be shouting, Hosanna, or blessed is he, but they would be jeering him with taunts of crucify, crucify him. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was always about his Father's business. You could say he had passion for his Father's work, preaching and teaching the Word of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding thousands with very little food. He ate with sinners and tax collectors and forgave the sins of sinners, those sinners who were no worse than you and I. And in everything Jesus did, he did to fulfill Scripture and to identify himself as the Son of God who was sent to be our Savior. Jesus deserved all the praise. He deserved all the honor, all the glory and worship. He certainly deserved much better than he received that week in Jerusalem. The King of Kings, who rode humbly into Jerusalem, he came in to fight the greater battle, the battle to win victory over sin, death, and the grave, but he received nothing that he rightfully deserved from the people. The kingly robe and crown that he so much deserved was exchanged for a soldier's robe and a crown of thorns. The royal staff that he merited was replaced by a flimsy reed. And the honor due him of people kneeling before him in true worship was exchanged by soldiers and people kneeling while mocking in their unbelief. Christ Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was spit upon. He was beaten and bloodied, stripped naked and nailed to the cross, not because he merited any one of those things, but to do it all, gladly suffer for what you and I and all mankind deserve. We deserve God's wrath against sin. Jesus was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to slaughter. And like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Well, at least Jesus didn't open his mouth to complain how he was being treated unfairly or to declare his innocence. But he did open his mouth to pray for those who were blinded by their own sin, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He opened his mouth to forgive the sins of the sinner dying on the cross right next to him, saying, "Truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." And Jesus opened his mouth one final time on the cross, in his last breath, saying, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You see, Jesus was passionate about his passion. He didn't have to leave the glory of heaven. He didn't have to put on the flesh of humans and live amongst sinful people. He didn't have to bear the sin of mankind, suffer, and die, because he's God. He's far above all that. He had the power to destroy and subdue all earthly authority. Yet, he gladly endured every bit of it. He carried it all for you. So this morning, we look at the crucifix. This is what love truly looks like. Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. Jesus suffered the death that you deserve so that you might pass from death into eternal life. It's love unknown. It shows us just how serious our sins are. Your sins are that serious. And it also shows how great God's love is for you, how great Jesus' passion is for you. Because if you were going to be rescued from sin and eternal damnation, Jesus needed to endure it all. And he did. So take Jesus' word for it. It is finished. In his suffering and death, Jesus has won victory over sin. And in his resurrection and ascension, he has triumphed over death and the grave. His work of salvation is complete. And you, baptized believer in Christ Jesus, merely receive all the riches of his grace by faith through his wonderful means that he has instituted for you in word and sacrament. But just because Jesus suffered in your stead, winning your forgiveness and salvation, doesn't mean you've graduated into premium elite status and your life will be free of suffering. Quite the opposite. Your life on this side of heaven, as you well know, is full of suffering. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." This is the cost of discipleship. Many people have given up things for Lent. We call it fasting, and fasting and bodily preparation is certainly fine outward training. But when we think about it, those things we fast with during Lent are the crosses that we have chosen. They are things that we have chosen to suffer. They're crosses that we've cherry-picked out of our lives. As a Christian, you know that Jesus, through Jesus' suffering, he has saved you from sin, death, and the devil. And it's also known that he is a good example for you to follow and willingly suffer on his behalf. Not that you would ever think that by your suffering you would merit anything or that you would be saved by your suffering, but you and I should suffer after Christ so that we may be conformed to him. By word and sacrament, God strengthens your faith and gives you faith so that you not only believe in the crucified Christ, but also to remind you that you have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. So be an example of Christ through your suffering. Strengthen yourself by meditating on St. Paul's words. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's a free gift of God. His love has been poured into your hearts as a precious gift. Take up your cross and follow Jesus, who suffered for you. It's what Scripture calls the Christian to do. Not that you go out and try to cause sufferings or seek out sufferings. To be sure, by living the Christian life and proclaiming Christ crucified, the sufferings will find you soon enough. Not suffering by just giving up chocolate or soda pop, but suffering for the name of Jesus, suffering for the one who marked you as his own in holy baptism. Suffer so the gospel might be proclaimed. Martin Luther describes the suffering this way: "It should be, however, and must be the kind of suffering that is worthy of the name Christian and honestly grips and hurts, such as some great danger of property, honor, body, and life, such suffering as we really feel, which weighs us down. Otherwise, if it did not hurt us badly, it would not be suffering." And Luther continues, "If you are willing to suffer, very well, then the treasure and consolation which is promised and given to you is so great that you ought to suffer willingly and joyfully, because Christ and his suffering is being bestowed upon you and made your own. And if you can believe this, then in time of great fear and trouble, you will be able to say, even though I suffer long, very well then, what is that compared to that great treasure which my God has given to me, that I shall live eternally with him? Brothers and sisters in Christ, God did not send his Son into the world to destroy the world, but that the world, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, might be saved through him. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve you and to give up his life as a ransom. His love is passionate for you, and he suffered his passion, defeating sin, death, and the grave, so that you too might pass from death into eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.